Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Archie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Everybody said thank you. You're too kind. You're too kind. The applause is too loud. Seriously, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Welcome into the sports flood. No, you, sir. Please sit down. Please. That's way too kind of you. Way too kind. You ain't even heard the show. You ain't even heard it yet. Welcome into the sports flood. Glad to have you guys aboard the ship. We are going to set sail for a great adventure coming up in just a few minutes. The bad news for today, I want to go ahead and get it out of the way. The show ends a little early today. And I know. We'll get through this together. We got Syracuse and Virginia basketball coming up at 10:45. So, let's just act like adults here. You knew what this was. Sports interrupts Saturdays a lot. It's a big day of sports. College basketball is almost king, but it doesn't mean we don't have a whole lot of other stuff to talk about over the next hour and 43. Archie Shea here, Antonio McBeath over there. Going to get to him in just a moment. You know, we got a lot of show on tap for you today. And I was wondering one thing. Who listens to Awesome? You can raise your hand. Or you can just clap if you want. Just clap, clap. You're listening to Awesome right now. We're going to have a great show. We're going to have a great time. You're going to be a great crowd. And we're going to have a chance for you to win Havoc tickets coming up in just a few minutes when the Prop Master General comes back. That's right, the Prop Master General is back for some of the craziest props of the Super Bowl. Some real, some I made up. Because that's how the Prop Master General works. And the rules will be simple. If you get more right than you get wrong, you'll win a pair of tickets to the Havoc next Saturday night as they take on You Don't Care. It's just good Havoc hockey. It's a good time to be outside and a good time to hang out. So I have a pair of tickets for anyone who does win that. We'll have that coming up. So in the meantime, you may want to put this number into your phone as of right now, just in case. It's 866-485-9867. Do you want to know what that stands for? 866-485-WUMP. That happens to be the call letters of our station. You can call in and get your picks in over the air. We'll be doing that starting next segment. So if you want to get in now and talk about your props, sorry, buddy, they ain't open till next segment. Or buddyette, if you happen to be a lady, a nice lass wants to call in and try to win a pair of tickets to the Havoc. That'll start in the next segment because we've got a lot of real big, important news to actually get to. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and introduce the happiest man that doesn't actually live in the Northeast right now. And I'm going to not make him happy a little bit later in the show. Don't worry. It's the producer, the button smasher of the show, Antonio McBeath. You got to let me introduce you. Antonio, how are you, man?
You make me sound so important. The button masher.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a technical term. I don't want to get over the head of the audience here. It's a radio term. And I say he's the happiest man that doesn't actually live in the Northeast because he happens to be a fan of the Boston Celtics, who are now the all-time winningest basketball team ever in the NBA, a fact which could change, I don't know, tonight. So I guess celebrate that, guys. A stat that could change every single night of the year.
It was important to me because they did it against the Lakers. I know the Lakers suck, but it's a historical rivalry that it will always be one of the biggest rivalries in sports.
Sure. That's probably 15 years past its prime. Minimum. I wouldn't say minimum. Maximum.
I'd say maximum. It was about 20.
Back in
2010 when was the last time they were both in the finals against each other.
Yeah.
Kobe was still playing really well.
Kobe, he's eight. I'll give you a little bit of glimmer of that. But that's all you get. That's all the Celtics could get today.
That's fine.
All of it. I'm not even wearing a Celtics jersey today. Wearing a Milwaukee jersey today.
I've already explained this to you off air.
Yeah, I don't care.
I am a Celtics fan through and through. It doesn't matter who plays for the Celtics. I will always be a Celtic fan. But there are other players in the NBA. I'm a huge NBA fan, a diehard NBA fan. So there are players I follow all throughout the league. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of them. He's finally getting love this year. I bought this jersey before last season. So the season that really allowed me to enjoy him was the 2014-2015 season is when I bought this. It's just, you see somebody play, and he didn't put up, you know, eye-popping numbers, but he was, you could tell that he was going to be a special talent. So, just showing some love because he's finally getting some recognition this year. Much deserved recognition this year.
Why wouldn't you wear that like 3 weeks ago when I was actually tooting the horn of Giannis? Like when I was actually screaming for him. In ecstasy.
Because I don't go by your schedule, Arky Shea.
That's right, because you don't get a schedule to write before the show starts.
Because exactly.
I'm building a show schedule is what I'm doing. Because I'm reading. I've got to learn to read. Man, there's a lot of stuff that I've been reading that you guys have got to be tuned in on. Coming up on the show, stop me if you heard this one before. Baylor's gross. Yeah, that's coming up. Also, the NFL Hall of Fame will announce its class for 2017 today. So we will know today who will be in the Hall of Fame. A few interesting names, themes that seem to be no doubters. We'll talk about that as well. And the scouting combine in Indianapolis has a new rule that's been basically making a couple of headlines now for one player in particular. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments. You can get in on the show by tweeting, by the way, at Arky Shea, at The Sports Flood, and at Tony Mac UMP. All right. We got to start where the money's at. Follow the money. It just came out that the Southeastern Conference, the conference that I'd like to say Tony enjoys watching, the Southeastern Conference is going to distribute this year to its member institutions, all 14 of them, $40.4 million apiece. That is comfortably over $500 million with a very capitalized B dollars in cash. I take that back. They may not actually give them cash. It may actually be a series of checks. I'm not sure. I haven't actually asked presidents and athletic directors how they actually receive the money. I feel like it could be. I feel like, you know what it should be? It's one of those like big fake gimmick checks, you know, that they win in the lottery. Like, I feel like that's what it would be. And to Florida, here's your giant check of $40.4 million. So $500 million in revenue is being generated from the Southeastern Conference. Close to this number last year was the Big Ten. And the Big Ten this summer, we'll find out how much they're actually going to distribute for the 2015-2016 year, as, of course, we are always a skosh behind when it comes to financial records. So the Southeastern Conference distributed $40.4 million, which is up from $32.7 million per team just the year before, which is up from $21 million per school just the year before. And this becomes relevant because of the NLRB. The NLRB is the National Labor Relations Board. And you may remember them most recently on this program as being discussed by myself in regards to Northwestern, in which a series of Northwestern players were petitioning the National Labor Relations Board in an attempt to petition their university for money. Because football players want to be paid. Basketball players want to be paid. And I'm guessing if you got a chance to ask them, track and field athletes would probably also like to be paid. But let's start with the latest memorandum and ruling by the National Labor Relations Board, which is a federal board. This isn't something I made up to advance my agenda of paying athletes. They said football players at private institutions and college sports' most competitive level, the FBS, are employees. The general counsel stated that in a memorandum, and they will, quote, be treated as such if they seek protection against unfair labor practices. The memorandum sent out on Tuesday wrote, the scholarship football players in the FBS, private sector colleges, and universities are employees under the National Labor Relations Act. While limited to granting protections under just one section of the act, the memo clarifies that football players at private FBS programs are entitled to campaign for their own interest as employees. You've seen picket lines. Including asking for pay free of retaliation. This is a huge step in the direction that fairness needs, that fair labor practices need. This is a great start. Just like I told you when the college football BCS went away and gave way to the college football playoff, I said, it's a good start. It's not where we need to be yet. But as you've seen in your lifetime, and I have in mine, change and progress is slow, but it does happen. There are 17, by the way, private colleges and universities in the FBS, which includes schools like Northwestern, Duke, Miami, Vanderbilt, just to name a few of them. I guess I could name the rest of them, but there's only 17, not a ton of them, of the 128 institutions. But this is a giant step in the direction of fairness. Now, to be able to get these athletes actual money, to be able to get these athletes what they need, and more importantly, have just earned of their desire, of their ability, of their effort, a lot still needs to happen. First of all, it's important to note that the National Labor Relations Board notes only football players at private colleges and universities. From what I've read through this, that's mainly because only football players from a private institution actually brought forth the petition, which means there's still a long way to go because the NLRB is ruling on a very narrow circumstance, which is these players from this one place brought together a petition and got this ruling. This wasn't a class action type lawsuit. Now I'm going to add on to that this story that came out yesterday, that the NCAA has agreed to pay $209 million over scholarship shortages. They are settling a federal class action lawsuit filed by former players who played between the years 2009 and 10 through 2016 and 17. Because these players, led by former West Virginia player Sean Alston, these players of men's and women's basketball, as well as West Virginia football, is what started this, said that they unfairly have their scholarships capped. Now, you may say, how do you get a scholarship capped? That's where it's at. It's whatever it costs to go there. Remember in January of 2015, the five big colleges, the Power Fives. So we'll start paying a stipend to cover, quote, the cost of attendance. The stipend. That's $5,000, $7,000, depending on where you go. That's a federally determined number. Each member of this class action will get about $6,000, which is roughly what a stipend is, roughly, depending on the institution. You know what's wild about that settlement, by the way? The NCAA is going to pay $208 million all by itself. The ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, the Big 10, they ain't paying a dime. They ain't paying a dime. The NCAA is going through its reserves to pay $208 million to these players from 2009 until 2016-17, which are guys who got on scholarship without having that stipend as an option. They're going to pay this all through their own pockets. Do you know who's making the most money? It's not the NCAA. It's the conferences. Follow the money. Where's the power? It's not with the NCAA. So two giant rulings going against the NCAA in this regard. Now, I'll tell you this. There is one giant roadblock that is in the way for players petitioning to getting paid by their universities. Say it with me, Title IX. Now, Title IX's a federal program, and you can't just change federal programs. Or can you? If anything I've learned from the last 2 weeks, you can change a whole lot about federal programs if you want to. But you can't just go to your universities as a federal funding program and say, we're not giving women's soccer anything. We're not giving men's tennis anything. But you damn sure can't say we're giving you all equal, because that's not how this is going to work out well. So you're going to have to create a brand new structure, and that's going to be a whole lot of legal challenges. That's why I'm telling you, this is a big decision, but it's a small step. Because for these players to actually get paid, you're going to have to look at a whole new model of NCAA athletics and the way funding happens and the way the money happens. Whatever TV contracts go out because they want to carry the Big Ten or the SEC, you're going to have to start rationing that money. You can't just say, we're giving a giant amount of money to the Big Ten. You're now going to have to pay attention to how much of this money am I going to pay for a certain package? How much do I want for women's tennis? How much TV money am I going to get for lacrosse? It's a little bit, but it's not nothing. And it sure ain't what football's bringing in. And that's why the only true model that will ever work, and we'll find out eventually, you guys will see, it may take 15, 20 years, you'll see, the only true model that will work is the Olympic model. If you want to go with the pure fairness, everybody gets to make money off their image. It should be what it is now. But let's not sit there and pretend that the same number of people are watching Alabama-Clemson as are watching whatever happens in May when Johns Hopkins takes on North Carolina in lacrosse championship. It ain't real, bro. It ain't happening. You don't get funded and paid for the same way. But Title IX is your giant roadblock because you're dealing with places that don't want to call themselves businesses, but are being treated as businesses, but publicly have to say to you, we're an academic institution that happens to have a football team. We're a college that happens to have a really good basketball team. We have nothing at all to do. It's just a happy coincidence that ESPN, Fox Sports, CBS want to pay us a whole bunch of money to show our football teams. These are just kids, guys. They're just playing for the fun of it. We're giving them free shoes. It's cool. They like the cleats. It's awesome. Eventually, we're going to have to get into the reality of the economics of this. And if it's going to be the way it is now with Title IX, something big's going to happen. Something's big's going to happen, and you could see teams, conferences, alignments, where you only have football playing places, or you find a way to classify yourself as a football-only business. Because let's face it, I know all these schools make a whole lot of money, and a whole lot of them make profits, but a whole lot of them lose money. You know why? Because the big amount of money they make, they have to spend on scholars, because that money has to come from somewhere, right? Someone's got to pay professors and meal plans. Somebody's got to pay for it if it's just a scholarship. Scholarship doesn't mean just show up for free. It does for you. But someone's got to make sure professors are getting paid. They're losing money because they got to pay for that. For everybody. And I get it when teams legitimately and universities legitimately say, hey, we're not making much money, if anything. We're going broke. That's partially true. It's not the whole story. But it's partially true. They're having to use a whole lot of money that they make to also pay for other places. Think about it. How much money do you bring in to your house on your weekly paycheck? Now, that's a lot of good. That could be a lot of good money. Or it could be a little. But it's your money until you have to start paying for electricity and rent and food. All of a sudden, you don't have nearly as much money because you had to pay for other stuff. Because you're required to have electricity. You're required to pay Huntsville Utilities. To pay for your yumminess in your tummy, you have to go pay for ramen or Kroger or Walmart, Publix, Aldi's. I'm going to spend the rest of the show naming grocery stores. Winn-Dixie. Foodland. It's partially true. This NLRB ruling, the National Labor Relations Board, it says private schools can now petition for it. Doesn't mean they're automatically granted money, by the way. Do want to make that clear. Doesn't mean that Northwestern and Vanderbilt have to immediately start paying their players. It means they can now petition for it. They can basically ask very politely or very forcefully, give us our cash, yo. And that's only football programs. That's why I say it's a step. It's a small step. It's a significant one, but it's a small step. It's a lot of dominoes that have to fall for these football players to get the money that they bring in. 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP. Antonio, your thoughts?
Well, I don't. What do you mean? Like, my thoughts on whether they should be paid or not? Or
you sat there and listened to me diatribe for 20 minutes.
Well, I don't know. Whenever you cover something, you cover it so thoroughly. So, I mean, it's really hard to say something new. But, I mean, and it's really kind of annoying just for me to come in and be like, yeah, Arky, I agree. But,
no,
I mean,
you can agree or disagree. I mean, I like agreement. I feel like I come in every day with the best opinion and the right one.
Well, I don't know if I can necessarily agree. You didn't really state much opinion. You just stated facts that are to come. So, I mean, you just kind of laid out the law.
What I'm doing is predicting the future. I'm looking into my crystal ball. I'm seeing what's happening. The tea leaves, my friend, I'm reading them. This is what happened. But the opinion is, the main opinion is, I think this is what has to happen.
Well,
there's too much money based on one and two different types of football programs for Title IX to ruin it. For everyone to go back and say, what about Title IX? That's a roadblock that has to be adjusted, because when Title IX came out, Title IX was about getting equal representation. It wasn't about getting money. Title IX wasn't about there are tons of TV contracts and guys are being, and athletes are going to be considered to be employees. And whatever they bring in, they should make. Title IX was about getting equal representation and making sure you got equal scholarships. Title IX was about equality. It wasn't about pure economics.
Everything ends up reverting back to money, especially in sports. But the thing I like the most that you said was, if you're going to end up being paid, and I don't think a lot of athletes think about other people other than themselves in times like this, you're going to have to start thinking about the other athletic programs, like you mentioned. Lacrosse isn't necessarily a big seller, especially down here in the South. So, I don't know. It's going to be a big, long, long process. I like that this is a small step, and that's fantastic. But I like you brought it back to reality, saying, I mean, this is far from over. It's going to take a while, because you have to restructure the whole way this thing is done. You can't just look at this and be like, oh, people are finally eligible to be paid. Well, no, because other athletic programs are going to come out, well, they're making more than us. Well, they generate more money. There's going to be argument after argument after argument to come from this from here on out. So what you said to bring everybody back into reality is what I love the most. This is going to take a while, so just calm down.
It's a very significant step.
Absolutely.
It's just a small one. It's a small one. When there's actually a federal program that's in charge of labor relations, and to say that these guys are eligible to be considered as employees, that's very big language when it comes to paying players. The whole thing is amateurism. The whole thing is these aren't employees. These are guys who are here practically at will. We're giving them scholarships. You know, we don't want to use the word employee. But follow the money, my friends. Money does change everything. Would it be different if it was 1950 and there was no TV contracts? Yeah, probably. Probably. But it's 2017. You know what changes? The world. Reality changes. It all changes, man. And a stipend is not going to do it. It's not going to completely stop these. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, introduce Prop Master General. Give you a couple of chances to win Havoc tickets right here on the Ump. I got a few props for you. All you got to do is get more right than you get wrong. That's all you got to do. I'll give you a pair of tickets to see the Havoc next weekend, which is next Saturday, February the 11th, against who's coming up? Is it the Predators? Who we got? Whoever MRK is, Mississippi River Kings, I think is who that is. So that is coming up in the next moment. You get the phone number into your dial now, 866-485-9867. Plus, the NFL Hall of Fame class is going to be announced today. The finalists, we already know, will run through the few notables. And does Antonio have somebody he wants to make a case for that I won't listen to? That's next. Sports Flood. Happy to have you guys aboard the program today. You're going to need this. Let me give you this phone number real quick. 866-485-9867. This is your chance to win a pair of tickets free for next Saturday. All you got to do is call in and play with me, the Prop Master General, for the Super Bowl. Prop bets for the Super Bowl are in. I used some fakings. I made some up. I also may have used the some inspiration from some real ones? I'm not sure. I looked at a lot of this weird stuff. There's only two real ones that I saw that I was like, hey, that's interesting. Let me put that in there. But then there's like, let's see, who am I looking at? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 of these. So if you get 4 out of the 7 right, minimum, I'll give you a pair of tickets to the Huntsville Havoc next Saturday. Great time to go out with the family. Or a good date night, too, right before Valentine's Day, since that's in the middle of the week. Say, sweetheart, you know what's better than flowers? Pucks. That's right. Pucks. So, obviously, the Super Bowl is tomorrow. The Super Bowl is happening at 5:30 on the UMP. Coverage starts at 1 o'clock, by the way. So, if you're milling about or you just like to listen to it on the old radio dial, you can. It's going to be a good time for all of you guys. It's going to be a good time for me, too, because it's Patriots-Falcons. Hashtag rise up, my friend. There is no way I'm sitting here and rooting for the Patriots ever. Ever. Not one. They're a bunch of cheating scumbags. I don't know. I'm not rooting for the Patriots. And the Falcons, come on, the Falcons don't have a Super Bowl championship. This is Tom Brady's 7th time playing in the Super Bowl. Why in the world would I root for that jerk? Why would I root for a guy who's got more money than he'll ever need, a wife that makes triple the money that he makes, a beautiful set of children? Why would I root for a guy that left his pregnant wife for Gisele Bündchen? His girlfriend at the time. Why would I root for a guy that left his pregnant girlfriend? I wouldn't. You guys forgot about that too, huh? Put your Google machine to work today, huh, guys? Why would I root for that guy? The guy who underinflated footballs. I know I'm getting a little tenuous there. Why would I root for the team that was videotaping signals even after the NFL said stop videotaping signals? Why would I root for a team that's videotaping practices when the NFL's like, you probably shouldn't do that? Why would I root for that crap?
Now would be a great time to tell you that I'm rooting for the Patriots, by the way.
Why?
I'm rooting for him even more now because you're so against him.
What a front-running jerk you are.
Well,
why the Patriots?
I can't express to you.
The Falcons are the most exciting, best offense. And by the way, no one's talking about it. One of the historically great offenses ever in the NFL. This offense is better than the greatest show on turf. By a lot, actually.
I'm not disagreeing with you. That's fantastic, and it's wonderful for them. But number one, my best friend is a Falcons fan, and we have this competitive relationship, so I'm going against him first and foremost. But I can't express to you the hatred I had for the Patriots growing up and how much I despise them with all the cheating talks going on and everything. But something changed my mind back in 2012. And it's not that I like the Patriots or that I really care for Bill Belichick. I still think he's a cheating scumbag. But I really like Tom Brady. And
Stop.
The thing that gave me a turning point on Tom Brady was back in 2012 when Flacco and Manning got huge contracts and Brady was up for one. He took a pay cut to try to keep receivers around him and keep a team around him. I understand he doesn't need the money. He's got a wife that makes a lot of money, but a guy who's considered the greatest of all time could still feel like he's entitled to that money. And there are a million other players in the league that would also take that money, and he didn't. And I respect that.
The greatest of all time is Peyton Manning, so back off that noise. Secondly,
disagree.
100% correct. He doesn't need the money. He didn't need to worry about losing a few million dollars because his family is stinking rich because his wife, for the entirety of their career, has made 3 times minimum what he's made in a season. I know you want to make your own money, but this is play money that they're dealing with.
But
Tom Brady goes and plays a game, and the Patriots say, we take a little less, and be like, I don't know. Oh, wait, Gisele makes $44 million this year? All right, I'll take $3 million fewer for this one season. I'll be all right with that. God, what a front runner. What are you doing? What are you doing on the show? This show's for the little guys. It's not for the guys who are...
This is totally uncharacteristic for me as well. I never, ever pull for, you know, the Bamas and the Patriots out there, but I like
they don't pull for the Patriots.
I like Tom Brady.
Don't
I can't
pull
help
for
it.
The Patriots. No, you can pull for Tom Brady to break his leg. I don't really care.
But I have a feeling that tomorrow I'm going to get blocked on Twitter from you, because I'm probably going to just target you
on Twitter. I'm not blocking anybody. I got too busy of a day. But let me tell you what these prop bets I got coming in for the Super Bowl, so you can call in and make a few predictions. Because we'll have a couple opportunities since the show ends a little early due to some Westwood One basketball coming up between Syracuse and Virginia. The national anthem, I had to get in there. Luke Bryan is singing it over or under 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Now, you think that's easy. I found three different videos of him, or four different videos of him singing the national anthem. Two went under 2:15, and two went over. Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Also, will Luke Bryan wear any type of hat? That's a made-up one I got. Will he wear any type of hat? Because I don't want to influence your opinion, but if you know Luke Bryan, he's not really like a Garth Brooks country. He's more of a bro country guy. So maybe he wears a baseball cap and takes it off. I don't know. That's what we're deciding.
He's the baseball cap kind of guy with like the paper clip in it.
Maybe he's that guy for the Super Bowl. Who knows?
Kinda.
Who knows? Now, he's not the halftime show. It's the Super Bowl. So I don't know. Also, one of the ones I liked is, will the word lacrosse be said at all during the telecast? Now, I'll have this thing on full blare, so I'll know if this happens or not. Because, of course, Chris Hogan, very famously, as we saw in the AFC Championship game, mentioned 29 different times, Chris Hogan played 3 years of lacrosse before he played 1 year of football at Monmouth, blah, blah, blah. Also, will the phrase, Houston, we have a problem, be mentioned in the broadcast? Because it's very cliche, because it is in Houston, and because Joe Buck is on the call. So just be aware, during the actual telecast, not the crap leading up to it, the 9 hours of pregame leading up to it, during the actual game, will there be a Houston, we have a problem? Those are just those three are just yes-nos. Also, total pass attempts, 73.5. 73.5 combined pass attempts between both teams. Now, I looked it up because I'm preparing for a show here. This year, only four times did Matt Ryan and Tom Brady throw it under 30 times in a game. That's combined. Both guys did it twice. Also, first field goal of the game that is missed. Now, this one just could get wonky. But a field goal has to be missed at some point. Will that field goal be missed left, right, or will it be short/blocked? And finally, the MVP, will the MVP mention first? As teammates, coach, owner, family, Trump, other, or God? Mm-hmm. Interesting note there. So that's how the Prop Master General will happen today here on the program. I'm going to take a timeout when we come back. By the way, you can get into play and win your tickets, 866-485-9867. When we come back, the NFL Hall of Fame will announce its, not finalists, its entries, its class. The one we will enshrine in August, it will announce it today. Next. Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Today, the NFL will decide its newest Hall of Fame inductees. That's right. 15 modern era finalists are on this list, including LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor, Brian Dawkins, Alan Faneca, Terrell Owens, Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis. You can't have two Terrells in 1 year, right? That would just be crazy. Also, other guys like John Lynch is a finalist again, Kevin Mawai, Isaac Bruce, Don Coryell, Joe Jacoby, Ty Law, Tony Baselli, Morton Anderson, are all those to be considered, as well as Paul Tagliabue and Jerry Jones. Well, you know, should you be a Hall of Famer if you're still the owner? I mean, he's never not going to be the owner until he's dead. But that's the contributors category, something I won't really vote on. So who's the easiest case for you to make? If you can only put one of these guys in, only one, Who are you putting in from this? And I've narrowed it down to two. But I'm finding it hard to choose between the two. And I feel bad because one of them's not a kicker.
Give me your two. Let's hear it.
The two that I would choose between, and I'm going back and forth. I could use some help here. My guy, Terrell Owens, who spent the majority of his career playing for the Cowboys. Or wait, he spent 3 years there. Guys, chill out. He's just a good football player. And the guy who's number five all-time in rushing yards, when it comes to rushing touchdowns, he's number two. And that's Alan Faneca. No, that's LaDainian Tomlinson. So I find it hard to choose between both of these guys because I'm only putting in one this year. That's my rule for this show. I'm only putting in one guy for the NFL Hall of Fame. And I got to choose between a guy who's got 13,000 rushing yards.
You've got to choose between a guy who's a Hall of Famer. Oh, and another guy who's probably a Hall of Famer. It's going to be tough, Arky.
Terrell Owens has nearly 16,000 receiving yards. Has 153 touchdowns. I'm putting in Terrell Owens.
I can't blame you.
I'm putting in my guy, Terrell Owens, and it's simple. Terrell Owens got my popcorn ready. Terrell Owens was a guy I would pay to see. Terrell Owens was arguably one of the flashiest, most exciting, most dominant players we have ever seen as a wide receiver. For a long period of his career, he was unstoppable. For a long period in his career. He had over 100 catches in 97, 98, 2000, 2000, excuse me, 100, over 100 targets, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. He was a go-to guy even up until his last year in the league. He was a guy that had 9 touchdowns in just 14 games in his last season. He has 156 total touchdowns. There is very few comparisons for what Terrell Owens did during his time. For a position that doesn't get the ball as often as LaDainian Tomlinson. For a position that doesn't get the ball as often as a quarterback would be. For a guy that's going to get the ball 10 times max in a game. On average, maybe 12. Terrell Owens is number two all-time in passing yards. And that's because he's 7,000 away from the greatest I've ever done, and that's Jerry Rice. LaDainian Tomlinson did a long, 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 good list of scoring. 145 touchdowns is not something to sneeze at. But in 2006 is when he had his 28 touchdown year, which, by the way, is a whole bunch. Not going to argue against that. But when you look at the totality of his career, be honest, it was a really good career. Was he dominant for the majority of it? 1,600 yards in 2002 and in 2003. 1,800 in that 28 touchdown year in 2006. But aside from that, he's like a lot of really great running backs that we know. About 6 really great years. You know, think about what getting 1,000 yards in the NFL means in a season. If you play 16 games, that means you're averaging in the neighborhood of 80 yards a game, which is not impossible to do, which is still pretty hard to do. But it's not as if you're hitting this 100-yard-a-game clip. To get to that 1,000 yards, it's a little different. And I think if I'm going to choose between two guys, and they're both Hall of Famers, by the way, but this year I'm letting only one in, the Arky Shea Hall of Fame, the Arky Shea NFL Hall of Fame, I'm letting in T.O. Because T.O. did not get the touches that LaDainian Tomlinson did. T.O. had 60, 67, 60, 97, 93, 180, 77, 44, 85, 81, 69, 55, 72. Those are his touches. LaDainian Tomlinson's touches. 339, 372, 313, 339, 339, 348, 315, 292, 223, 219, 75. LaDainian Tomlinson had more opportunities to be dominant. Terrell Owens had fewer. So in this very narrow margin, I'm going with the guy who was the most explosive and the most dominant with fewer opportunities to do it. And a guy who basically from 98 on had to be double covered.
Can we not also forget when he played in the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles against the New England Patriots, he had 9 catches for 122 yards with 2 screws in his ankles. He wasn't even supposed to play in that game, and they couldn't stop him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even injured, he was unstoppable in his prime.
Terrell Owens, what year was that, 2005?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, it was the 2004 season, I think.
Take a timeout. I'll come up with that number for that year in just a moment because I want to get to it. Then I hear the music started. Is anybody on the phone?
Yeah, Grumpy wants to play the prop master on the other side
Grumpy.
Of the break.
I'll give you that TO stat, and then Grumpy will come on the other side and we'll play a chance to win Havoc tickets. 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. Prop Master General's up next.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
All right, my wife, get out!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Arky Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Welcome! You let me talk before you start? You're good. Hey, welcome in. This is the Sports Flood. Happy to have you guys aboard the program. Good day, good morning, good Saturday to everybody. Everybody in the club getting happy. This is going to be a good day. Good day for all of you guys and good day for myself. Prop Master General is here. To prop bets for the Super Bowl where you can win tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc, a pair of tickets for free, actually. Won't charge you a nickel. All you have to do is go pick up the tickets. If you get 4 of these prop bets right, I got 4 of them. Well, you got to get 4. I got 7 of them. You get 4 right, your name's going to be a will call, and you get to go see the Havoc next Saturday night, February the 11th. Let's try this out. See how it's done. A guy who knows how to pick games, pick things before, is Grumpy. What's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. Just checking out the show, and maybe even going to get to see some comedy tonight, man.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Is it Piff the Magic Dragons
Yeah, I like them on America's Got Talent or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. There's a lot of really interesting things that Stand Up Live in Huntsville is doing, so definitely get out there and check them out at some point. Doesn't have to be Piff the Magic Dragon. Could be anybody. George Wallace coming, all kinds of people. Grumpy, you ready to try this thing out? Yeah, soon enough, Arky Shay. I promise. I'll be on there soon enough. Don't you worry. My next comedy date, by the way, is February the 17th, 2 weeks from yesterday, at Salty Nut Brewery. I'll be doing a set there. So get excited.
Oh, man, I'm catching St. Paul and the Broken Bones up in the Ryman Auditorium, but or else I would be there, dude.
Don't worry. You'll have your more chances to see me. I promise you that.
All right,
Grumpy, you ready to try this bad boy out?
Yeah.
Prop Master General's got you 7 bets to get ready for. First of all, Luke Bryan is singing the national anthem. I found 4 videos of him singing the national anthem. 2 of them went over 2 minutes and 15 seconds. 2 of them went under. So the number is 2 minutes and 15 seconds for Luke Bryan singing the national anthem. What you got?
Man, is this guy... I'll go over.
Yeah, I think that they're putting this at pretty good odds. I mean, it's practically 50-50. I mean, I've only found 4 videos of it doing it, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. Just going to go with it. One of them, he was singing, I think, actually at the All-Star Game, which was Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I should say there's a bunch of All-Star Games.
In front of that many people, he may get nervous and speed it up, but I'll go over.
Well, another one I found was he was singing right before one of his concerts, the national anthem, like in Minnesota, and that one went way over. Maybe because the crowd got into it. Maybe the crowd will be into the Super Bowl. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how that one goes. Will Luke Bryan be wearing a hat at all during the performance, when he walks out, or when he leaves? Any hat at all. It doesn't have to be a cowboy hat. It could be a bro hat.
And help me out here. I don't even know who this guy is. Does he wear a hat?
He could. That's the thing. He's not Garth Brooks, George Strait country, where they wear the actual cowboy hat. Please. He's more of a I'll wear a ball cap guy, and he has done it before.
Is he bald?
Not bald.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. This is just for fun. Yeah, it's a guess, so I'll say no hat.
Don't
overthink it, Trumpy.
No hat. Will the word lacrosse be said during the broadcast at all?
No.
Interesting. No lacrosse brought up for Chris Hogan. Will the phrase "Houston, we have a problem" be mentioned?
Who's calling the game?
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
I don't think they're that witty. Well, Joe Buck might, but no, I'll go no. I'll say no.
Yeah, I'm not putting much past Joe Buck. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Joe Buck might do that.
If it was something like Kevin Koff, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
That's a good point. The first field goal missed in the game, because this could technically be something that doesn't happen, but this is one of those fun ones. The first field goal that gets missed in the game, will it be wide left, wide right, or will it be short or blocked?
Wide left.
Left. Yeah, it's interesting. I hope everyone's making note of this. I don't know how to write this down. Now we got some real ones here. Total pass attempts in this game, 73.5. These are pass attempts, not the completions. Only 4 times this season has both of these quarterbacks thrown for under 30 times in a game.
Man, I'm going to go over. They're going to be slinging that everywhere.
Man, I hope so. If they start freaking out and giving Freeman, and I don't want Deion Lewis to run the ball. I don't want that. Okay, and finally,
guess
Grumpy.
What, Arky? No one's gonna miss a field goal with these kickers.
No,
that's
one of the things too. That one just may not happen at all. So if no one misses a field goal, you only actually get 3 of these right. And finally, Grumpy, the MVP of the Super Bowl. When they go to him afterwards, who will he mention first? His team? His coach, his owner, God, his family, Donald Trump,
it's the biggest spotlight, and he wants endorsements, and he wants to be liked, so he's going to say God.
God first. All right, Grumpy. You're in, my friend. Thank you for participating with the Prop Master General.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Grumpy, going to miss my comedy in a couple weeks. What a jerk.
When are you going to start jerking around and let me play this thing?
No, that's... Listen, you got to calm down.
I'm excited.
Show's happening on pace.
I got to hear Grumpy pick. I'm ready. I'm
Grumpy,
excited.
Grumpy did get the pick. Grumpy get the pick. This is how you do it. We only got a few minutes left. May get one in if you want to do it the next segment also, but you got to get that in now. The show ends a little sooner today because of Westwood One Basketball, 10:45. That's Virginia and Syracuse. Also, don't forget, 6:30 tonight, cover starts of Alabama and Auburn. The Iron Bowl of basketball, part two. Both teams coming off big losses in the middle of the week. Coming up, 6:30 pregame starts. 7:30 is when the tip is. Oh, I forgot to get the phone number for people who want to play, right? 866-485-9867. I knew I forgot something. 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. That gets you in to play with the Prop Master General. You give four rights, you get tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc for free next Saturday night. All right, Antonio. I really got this cool story coming up about players who are not being allowed to go to the combine. That's coming up, I guess, next. But I'll first give you a chance to play against the Prop Master General. Oh, you need to answer the phone? Go ahead and answer the phone. Do the real thing you have to actually do. What I'm actually paying you to do. Get Antonio's picks coming up in just a moment. This story I want to talk about coming up on the other side of the break. We're going to stay here for a minute. But it's about players being allowed to go to the combine based on domestic violence and weapons and drug offenses. Now, it gets a little murky in a couple situations, and I'll tell you why it's good and bad, but mostly good for the NFL coming up next. At Adam? Adam? Adam, what's up, man?
What's up, bud?
Where are you calling from?
The Jack's drive-thru line.
Oh, nice. Get you number four large Coke, no ice.
No, we're doing a bologna biscuit right now.
Oh, man, see, I'm a sausage egg biscuit kind of guy. That's what I get most mornings before I come to work.
Yeah, I'm just a sausage biscuit by itself. I don't need the egg with it. If you want to throw some egg and cheese in there, then I want the bacon.
Oh, I got you.
But just a bologna, fried bologna move. Just been a little country today.
Fried bologna ain't bad. I'll guarantee you that. Adam, let's play the game, shall we? Prop Master General is up. Luke Bryan, 2 minutes and 15 seconds on the national anthem. Over or under?
Gosh. This is the hard one. I think I'm going to go under.
Under. You know, I mean, it's very interesting strategy.
They got to time it out with the flyover. See, they have to time it out with the flyover, and about 2-10 is the mark.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Did not consider it playing into that strategy, which is we got to hit our marks here. Will Luke Bryan be wearing a hat?
He's going hatless. He wants to show off. He's wanting to show off his face and his curly hair and where everybody knows who he is.
Smart. I'll tell you why. I agree with you there, but I'll tell you why I don't think he's going to be wearing a hat. Because it's the national anthem, man. I don't think you want to wear a hat during the national anthem. It's disrespectful, you know what I mean? So,
I agree.
Will the word lacrosse be said, and probably in reference to Chris Hogan?
Yes, most likely in the first quarter.
Yeah. Wow, that's really...
They will get the Hogan lacrosse reference out early.
Better hope Chris Hogan catches one early. Will the phrase, "Houston, we have a problem," be said? Now, remember, it's Joe Buck. He's kind of a corny guy. He's doing the call.
Yeah, and Troy Aikman will do those as well, where, you know, offense ain't looking good, and in Houston, we got a problem. You know, you could see something like that. I'm going to go no. I'm going to say there's going to be too much going on in the game that they're not going to be that clever.
That's true, but these broadcasts are really long for the Super Bowl. It's a little different, but, man, I'll tell you this. I'm hoping for no because I'm hoping so I don't have to see 1,000 tweets of making fun of Joe Buck for saying something really dumb like that. Field goal. Yeah. The first field goal that gets missed in this game. Again, this will be something that doesn't actually happen. Does it get missed left, right?
We're going to go wide right.
Wide right. All right. Let's go Florida State, Miami times. All right. pass attempts, total combined.
I will agree with Grumpy. I don't know if they'll miss one.
Yeah, I don't know. See, so if they don't miss, it's not going to count against you, so you only have to get three right at that point. Total pass attempts, 73.5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's over.
Yeah. Man, I'm hoping so.
73.5 is a big number.
Yeah.
Man, that's a big number.
It is, but I'll tell you this. Again, only twice this year has Matt Ryan thrown it under 30 times in a game. Same thing for Tom Brady.
Yeah, but that's just sick.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. But I'll go over. I'll go over.
Good. 35 each guy is 70, so, I mean, putting it that way. And finally, Adam, the MVP, once he starts to talk, who does he mention first? His team or teammates, his coach, his owner, God, family, Donald Trump, or anybody else?
He thanks God first.
Thanks God first. I like that. Adam, hang on just a second. Antonio is going to get your last name. That way, if you win, you'll be able to actually pick up your tickets at Will Call, so we won't have to call you. Just know you can go to the BBC and get your tickets, get your pair of tickets for you. But Adam, thanks for listening, man. Enjoy your biscuit.
I appreciate it.
All right. That is Adam calling in from the Jack's drive-thru. I don't know if we've ever had someone admit that they are calling in from a drive-thru before. Because, like, I went to Jack's. Let me tell you this. There's a Jack's next to the station, and they are delicious. And they have – and I made this case before on the Kublik show. They may have the best biscuit out there. Now, part of it's because the biscuit's delicious. And part of it, by the time I'm done at the station, it's lunchtime, and I don't get biscuits. So I can't try a lot of other biscuits. So I'm coming in, get a biscuit. It's light, it's fluffy, it's never burnt, it's never firm. I don't like firm biscuits. I like the soft, just barely finished being cooked biscuits. Okay, I'm hungry again. I'm going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get Antonio. You know what, you want to do it now? Let's do it now real quick. We can do it now real quick. Antonio wants to play against the Prop Master General, so it's very simple. You've heard the rules, Antonio, right?
Yeah,
pretty simple. You get four right, you get tickets to the Havoc. Yeah, I'll allow that this time. I'll allow an employee to win this time. All right. You've heard it a couple of times already. Luke Bryan, 2 minutes and 15 seconds, national anthem. Go!
I want to say under really bad, but I have a suspicion it's going over. He's going to want to show off.
He's going to want to show off, huh?
Yeah, I do. It's Luke Bryan.
It's such a... Adam brings up a good point. Like, you got to time these things out if you're going to have a flyover.
Yeah, it is a good point.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't a flyover. And if it's starting to go long, do you tell the Jets to, like, slow down a little? Like, slow down. We're going a little long.
We're timing this from, like, first note to last note, right? End of last note. Because I have a feeling he's just going
to...
To
the end of the word brave.
Because I have a feeling he's going to exaggerate the last couple lines.
Maybe. He has done that in concert before. Will Luke Bryan be wearing a hat of any kind?
This is the question I've had for you this whole time. You said you've watched four videos.
Yes.
And two have gone over, two have gone under.
Yes.
How many of those was he wearing a hat?
I wasn't even paying attention to that part of it. I don't think any times.
Because I know that he wears a hat a lot.
He does. But he also likes his hair. It's also the national anthem.
It's the national anthem.
I'm supposed to remove my hat during the anthem.
It's the national anthem. So I was originally going to say no to it, but then you had mentioned that at any time, the walk up, the walk off.
Yeah, anytime we see him walking up, leaving, puts a hat on right afterwards, or waves a hat like, God bless America, whatever he does. Will there be a hat that he eventually puts on his head?
That made me think, well, maybe, but you reiterated it is the national anthem at the Super Bowl, so I'm going to say no hat.
Because I feel like there would be people, especially his listeners, who would say, that is so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Will the word lacrosse be mentioned?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan's going to get a target, especially if he catches a touchdown. You can guarantee it gets mentioned.
The touchdown call may start with former lacrosse player Chris Hogan for six. Will the phrase, Houston, we have a problem, be mentioned?
This is kind of risky, but I'm going to say no.
Yeah, it is very risky because
it's Joe Buck.
It's basically right there for you. It's a tailor-made dad joke hanging out there. For Joe Buck to make.
Had Houston done the impossible and made it to the Super Bowl in their home city, then I would have. You could guarantee that gets mentioned if someone scored on them first. But I'm going to say no. I'm fighting every instinct in me because it's Joe Buck, but I'm going to say no.
And Adam brought up a good point, too. Troy Aikman counts as well. Any of the broadcast counts. So if they go down and, like, what's her name? Sideline girl.
But I would
very pretty. Had a peeping video about her. What's her name?
Talking about Aaron Andrews?
Aaron Andrews. If she says Houston, we have a problem. Or if whoever's assigned to covering the other team that she's not covering but says it, it still counts.
I think we're rightfully focusing on Joe Buck because, in all reality, if anyone said it, it's probably going to be him.
Troy Aikman's a bit of a nerd, too. The first field goal that is missed of the game, if there is one missed. Left, right, or short slash blocked?
I agree with all them. I don't think there's going to be one missed. But
you guys are such not optimists.
If it gets missed, it's going left.
I'm pretty sure this is not going to happen, but left. That's what they can see.
Pretty much.
73.5 pass attempts, over or under?
Absolutely over.
Man.
Absolutely.
I think they were at 80. I think it was 42 and 38 in the championship games combined.
Tom Brady doesn't necessarily have much of a run game behind him. He has to throw a lot. And New England also has a very good rushing defense.
Sure do.
They're able to stop the very talented, the two very, very talented running backs of Atlanta, you're going to see Matt Ryan sling it even more, which he already does. So I've got to go over.
All right. And who gets mentioned first by the MVP?
This one I've been waiting to talk about because it really just depends on who wins it. Because if it's a receiver or a running back, usually those guys, I don't know what it is about them. Anybody that's not Tom Brady is going to mention God first.
Okay.
But I have a feeling Tom Brady's going to mention his teammates first. And I think Tom Brady's going to win the MVP, so I'm going to say teammates.
Teammates, then that can. Here's the thing, though. If Tom Brady went – Tom Brady, when he, after the AFC Championship game, I think was talking to Tracy Wolfson, and the first thing he brought up was, like, his mom and dad and then his wife and children were watching the game.
He did have a video – from a couple days ago of Super Bowl coverage of him mentioning his dad was his hero to a little boy and he got choked up, which kind of worries me a little bit, but it's the biggest stage and he's going to put...
His mom's got like cancer or something, man. Why wouldn't he say her name first? I would go family for Tom
Brady. He's going to give the credit to his teammates first.
Let me tell you what's really going to happen. Tom Brady's going to win the MVP and he's going to mention Roger Goodell first. He's going to be like, in your beeping face, Roger, I'm out. Drop the mic.
We could all hope. We all hope that.
Hope? Or no? Coming back, this combine story is really, really interesting. And while Antonio's still here, I want to be able to talk to him about one of his former players that doesn't get invited because he's a bit of a whirly turd. Next. Sports Flood, welcome in. Just turn that down real quick. Hey, all right. Turn it off real quick. That was it. It doesn't shut itself off. It's a computer. Computers don't do weird things. Come on, Antonio. You're better than that. Don't accuse a computer of being weird. Hey, got a few minutes here, and not very many more than a few minutes here, to talk about this great scouting combine that's coming up in a few weeks. In the beginning of this year, a prospect who is invited to the NFL scouting combine is not allowed to go to the combine if in a background check shows a misdemeanor or felony conviction involving violence, weapons, domestic violence, sexual offense, or assault, according to an NFL media insider. Now, it's also important to note that under this policy, A.J. Johnson was not allowed to go last year to the NFL Combine, had his invite rescinded because, well, he was indicted in Knoxville by a grand jury on 2 counts of aggravated rape. Now, it's interesting because there are two players who are not invited to the Combine citing this. One of those is Ishmael Zamora, Baylor wide receiver, who was suspended last season after video surfaced of him beating a dog on Snapchat. That sounds like a rap lyric. I don't understand how it's like an actual offense. And secondly, Joe Mixon, Oklahoma running back, who you guys may remember pretty famously punched a girl in the face and broke basically every bone that he could once he made contact. So, this is a great ruling. This is a great thing. Joe Mixon does not deserve to be on display, so to speak. It's something that's not with his team. It's an individual honor, I guess, to be invited. It's an individual achievement to be invited by the NFL to go to the scouting combine to eventually get drafted. So, with our limited time left, and I'll expound upon this a little in a few minutes, you're an Oklahoma fan. Mm-hmm. You're a guy that's in a very awkward position of being an Oklahoma fan and having a guy who on the team no one really likes.
Well, I don't.
As far as outsiders, the teammates may like him, but no one in the media likes him still being on the team. So it's a very weird position for you to be in. So let me ask you, where do you stand?
It's not necessarily a weird position for me, and I'll explain why. Because I understand everything that's happened up to this point. I mean, obviously what he did was extremely awful. I don't agree with the decision to basically redshirt him. I understand where Stoops' heart was. I disagree that Stoops saw a good player and that's why he kept him. There's way more evidence that shows in Stoops' career that that is absolutely not the case. He cut a starting quarterback a week before the opening game of the season, so it has nothing to do with that. Another incident that happened with an Oklahoma player back in 05, similar, it was a violence case where he absolutely pummeled someone a lot smaller than him, albeit a man. Dusty Dvorak got kicked off the team, absolutely, you know, excommunicated from Oklahoma, and came back the next year, earned his way back on, and earned his way as a captain. And that kind of changed Stoops' mind, I guess, of giving someone a second chance. So I'm not really, when I stand up for where Stoops' heart was, I'm not defending Joe Mixon, because what he did was awful, and he has done nothing to prove himself afterwards, you know, with the parking attendant and everything else. And a lot of people get kind of confused when I say, well, I wish he had come back for another year. And that's because he's going away from the only guy in the midst of all of this, the only guy who has tried to help him, like genuinely tried to help him. And I absolutely agree with the ruling of the scouting combine. A lot of people don't like that he's not going to be there because they're saying, well, he gets to miss the media on questions. They don't get to question him and put him in the spotlight on that. But the fact that they didn't invite him is supposed to be a punishment, and you guys need to realize that it is, because it is it's supposed to put you on display yet again. And he's obviously, talent-wise, one of the more talented running backs in the combine, so him not allowed to be there is a punishment. And I agree with that. You shouldn't be allowed to be showcased after something you've done like that. It's that awful.
It's basically an NFL punishment without him being a member of the NFL, mm-hmm. just like it is with Ishmael Zamora. It is the NFL doing as it best can the right thing to not put someone who is in a bad spotlight to put them back in a good spotlight at all and be like, oh, look, Joe Mixon run a 4.3 6.40. That should put him in the top three of running back rankings. Is to not give him any situations like that. I'll tell you before I let you go that it was a position like I was put in with Greg Hardy as a Cowboys fan, which is Greg Hardy was obviously a terrible person, and Greg Hardy was somebody who was somebody who I didn't want on my team, but was on my team. So how I reconcile that with myself, I rooted for the Cowboys to win. I also rooted for Greg Hardy to break something. And when Greg Hardy limped off a game, I think it was against Detroit, and didn't come back in the second half, I thought, great. I don't want that guy anywhere near my team, my franchise. I don't want him in my life. I hope this is the end for him. And it technically kind of wasn't the end. It was pretty close. But that's the best way I can reconcile is hope that he gets hurt. We need to take a timeout. When we come back, a couple more quick thoughts on that, why it's such a weird ruling and why it's not as easy as you think just to say Joe Mixon can't go to the NFL Combine. Next. Live here in studio on a gorgeous, very cold, but gorgeous day here in North Alabama. Glad you guys have been along this entire ride. I wanted to finish up the thoughts on Joe Mixon and the NFL Scouting Combine not allowing him to be invited because of the new rule that says you have to go through a background check, and if a background check brings up any misdemeanors or felonies for assault, sexual assaults, rapes, domestic violence, guns, weapons charges, that you're not going to be allowed to be invited to the NFL Scouting Combine. The bad thing is for Joe Mixon is he's doesn't have a felony or misdemeanor. I mean, he's undergone counseling and community service and a deferred sentence. So there is a bit of a murky ground there, but what I like that the NFL did is to say, we know what you did. We're not going to get this loophole around us. We saw the video. We've heard the story. We know there's a deferred sentence for a reason. It didn't just show up out of nowhere. You're not going to get around this. And I like situations like that where we don't take necessarily in cases like that the letter of the law, but we take the spirit of it, which is we know what you're trying to do. We ain't having it. We know what you're trying to become, and we're not going to allow it at this one thing. I'll be much different when somebody finally drafts you, then, of course. He's projected to be a top five running back. He'll be fine somewhere, and he gets to still go do his pro day at Oklahoma. I'm sure Bob Stoops isn't going to not let him go to that, so he'll be fine, sadly. Wanted to get out on this stupid question that was asked. And you tell me how stupid it is, because I'm going to scream about it for a couple moments, and you'll see why. Media night at the NFL. Super Bowl week. Where the whole kit and caboodle gets asked. You show up, and for an hour, every single person from every publication that wants to be there gets to be there and ask questions like this. Would you wear Auburn gear if doing so would guarantee a victory for the Falcons? Julio Jones was asked that. Julio Jones out of Foley, Alabama, who went on, obviously, for great success at the University of Alabama, was asked legitimately by someone in the media to answer the question, would you wear Auburn gear if doing so would guarantee a victory for Atlanta? Julio Jones said no, because Julio Jones is not a moron. And not in the way you may be thinking. It is so easy to fall back and say, roll tide, I will never do anything that's associated with Auburn. Roll tide, I would never even touch the color orange. In fact, I don't eat tangerines for that reason, because they orange. Roll tide. But it's because the question itself is such a ridiculous hypothetical. Then why else would you say anything but, yeah, gets me a Super Bowl ring? Julio Jones does not get guaranteed a victory in anything by wearing anything, actually. He could wear an Alabama shirt under every day of his life gear, under the game on Sundays gear. Practice leading up to, yes, could wear an Alabama, Michigan, Texas A&M, could wear anything, and it's not going to guarantee you a victory. So when the stupid, asinine, and not even close to cute or funny question gets asked to sort of drudge up some Auburn-Alabama rivalry hatred, as if we don't have enough of that junk in the state, as we don't have enough chest pumping going on throughout the other 364 days of the year. On this day, he gets asked, would you wear an Auburn shirt if it meant you would be guaranteed the Super Bowl? It's actually a really bad question. Because they teach you in journalism and in just general question asking to try to get a non-yes or no question to get more of an answer, and try not to lead your witness, so to speak, into a ridiculous, absurd situation. Julio Jones isn't a moron. He knows that there's nothing he can do or wear to get a Super Bowl in particular. There's nothing that's guaranteeing it. So why would I admit to wearing something Auburn for any reason? This is why people hate the media. This is why people do not trust the media. This is why I don't trust the media. I should make that more clear. I can't ask the media. I can't trust them to ask a halfway decent question at the Super Bowl media day. And it's not like you're going to get a ton of great topics to talk about anyway. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Media days are almost always garbage. They're not fun to cover. They're only good for one thing: networking for people like me and Tom Abraham and Cole Kublik. That's the only thing that's worth the damn there. Because for one day a year, in the middle of July, you'll get to hear an Alabama player on this station or two that are going to be playing that year. Otherwise, it's former players we have on, because we can't have those guys on during the season, and we can only play press conference audio that reporters are actually asking, or we go down to ask during press conferences. We're not allowed to have live interviews with anybody. So, what are we getting at media days? We're getting junk like this. We're getting people like crazy Tom Brady Mask showing up and trying to make a spectacle of what is unnecessarily a spectacle. The game itself is a spectacle. But the NFL, in all its wisdom, since they now put media nights on TV, they have to make it something. So they bring a rock band on to play, and they play the most ridiculous music you would expect for what's essentially a mass press conference. And by the way, I should add that the most ridiculous music is really any music. It's a giant press conference. What's fun about that? It's because the NFL, man. NFL is freaking king. And much like the SEC wants, there's a reason they allow over 1,000 media members there. It's not because they're allowing the most esteemed. They're allowing everybody to come in so that they can get coverage of their conference. Is it working? Well, they just distributed $40.4 million to every school, which is over $500 million the conference made. Sporting conference with students. It's ridiculous, man. It's about coverage. And the NFL is such king. And it doesn't have to be like this, NFL. Let us have some basketball during the week. Let us have some more college hoops. Let us have some more pro hoops. Let's watch some wrestling this week. It doesn't always have to be about you. Asking stupid questions to guys like Julio Jones. Would you wear Auburn gear if it would guarantee a Super Bowl? That's an easy answer. It's a stupid question. It highlights the ridiculousness of what you have going on there during this week. I hate it. And it should go away quickly. I'm about to go away quickly. We got, coming up next, Virginia and Syracuse. Basketball coming up in just about 30 seconds from now. Pre-game show there. And don't forget, tonight at 6:30 is when cover starts of Alabama and Auburn on the hardwood. Edit again, Alabama tries not to lose by 20 this time to Auburn and tries to actually win this time. That starts at 6:30. Sports Flood.